So he took us to Mysore. He said, now we're going to Mysore, which is South India. I tell you, I don't know how Baba did it, because all the arrangements would be done with the men, and we never saw the men. We never even mentioned their names. We didn't even know who and how many or what they were. But we know that everything was arranged, and it looked like our cloistered life was picked up like this, along with us, like in a house, carried over and put down there, and there we were. The bungalow in Mysore was already seen to, rented. It was just the right distance exactly from here. What I'm trying to say is, following all the directions in detail that Baba had given, were seen to. And there was a fenced off area where we could be private. We women could come out of the bungalow without seeing the street or the other people or the neighbors. It was a bamboo matting fencing that's done in a square ground. So all that was done. So we just went there. Now we went in a train where it was all very secluded, very private, and to the station we went in a bus that was all covered, you know, all those things. In fact, so much so that Mera, when she walked over with us, even to the station, although I also was not allowed to touch men or to talk to them, I could see. Because I would escort Mera, help her, support her. So Mera had dark glasses on, and even that inside was covered with brown paper. So she couldn't see, but people wouldn't know that she was having those glasses. They thought she had dark glasses on. Now I had my arm in her arm, and arm in arm we were walking on the platform so that she could be guided by me, like friends, you know. Now the funny thing is that for some time before that, one of the things Baba asked me to do was shooting practice. Shooting practice with an air gun, a bird gun, in the room, shooting nothing but jam tins swinging from the ceiling. We didn't have upstairs like we do now, up on the retreat, Mehrabad Hill. It used to be a conical tiled roof with enormous, beautiful beams inside. And from the beams was hanging this little tin. And I got really good at it. So I had to carry my gun too. And I had, because never in the sun, Baba was very strict about not being in the sun, I had my solar topi on. So just picture to yourself, here's me, and we were not fashionable. I mean, we just made do with our clothes. So here was this, what I thought was my best dress, and longish dress, because we always had to be covered. Even the long pants, which I wear now, I've worn with Baba since I was 13, and even on my holidays before that. Not only that, it would have a frill at the bottom, so it would totally cover even below the ankle. So here I am in this weird clothing, and a solid sun, solar topi sun hat on my head, British tie, and the gun under my arm, and arm in arm with Mera this time. And at one point, Baba had I don't know how it happened. Baba said, stay here and till I come. And the others, who were with us? Naja, Khorshed, Kaku, and another Brahmin girl. I'll tell you how she was enticed to come, wooed to come along. But she was there too, because she was turned out to be a great help. But she really joined us because Baba promised her money would teach her English, and Khorshed would teach her harmonium, and she was very happy to have all that. But she never got a chance to have any of it, because then I fell ill and had to have this major operation. That's a part of my story that's to come. So anyway, here was Mera and I standing in this peculiar vision of us. And Baba said, now wait here, I'll be back now, don't move. Now, I wouldn't move for the life of me, because we didn't even know where we were going and what was happening. I mean, the route on the platform. So Aminanda was standing. Suddenly, now this train is in front of us, but we are at the end where it's first class. So no question of Indian passengers going up and down and crowd, totally uncrowded, totally secluded. The end, it was only reserved for British, very privileged people would be in the first class. It was very expensive. So all the blinds were down on the windows of the train. Suddenly, opposite to where Mera and I are standing, the window goes up. and obviously a major, if not a colonel, anyway, one of the military personnel is in the officer, definitely. He puts his head out, and the moustache bristling, very, very pink in the face, he says, could you please survey the time? And I just look at him. I'm so scared, but I can't talk to him. I know English. I want him to know I know English. He somehow guesses I know English. But I can't tell him the time. I know what the time, but I can't talk to him. And now what am I to do? Bob has told us his tense. I look at him. He thought maybe I hadn't heard. Well, I say, all I want to know is, what's the time? What happens, Kevin? So scared. I don't know what to do. Listen, could you please tell me what the time is? Every time I'd look down, then again, when he'd ask, I'd look at, oh dear. He said something, I don't know what he said. Anyway, he was spluttering by then. The moustache was just bristling and trembling, and he was so pink in the face, and he banged the window down. Just as he did that, Baba comes over. I said nothing had happened. I never told him. So here we were walking past the thing. So when we were in Mysore, and there again we saw little of Mysore except when we would land somewhere. But Baba would always take us for outing. Baba would always see to our comfort, to our outing and recreation. So we've seen the zoo. I'll never forget the time when we saw Mysore Zoo. It's one of the biggest and the most beautiful zoos. And for the first time we saw giraffes. There were two giraffes just inside the gate, because it was a big garden of a zoo, you know, lovely. And we saw these two, and then those two giraffes didn't move. So Mara thought they must be, you know, constructed out of something. They couldn't be real. So, and then suddenly they moved or something. I forget, because Mara was so excited. Baba, look, those things are moving. And Baba said, yes, they're real giraffes. And so anyway, so we were in this place, and when we would go out in the car, we had that old-fashioned car where there are seats and also a folding chair. And this Brahmin girl we took with us, they're very fond of flowers. They love putting a rose in their bun, in their hair. It's always, you know, oil and dress their hair very neatly. And then they have this rose. Now, so at times when there are no roses available, they have this maybe gold or golden, looking like gold, little rose, a pin that they put in their bun. And so when she was in the car right before me, as the car moved, the rose would tremble. All I saw was that, because there was a sheet in front, we couldn't see the driver, we couldn't see this way, that way, so much, there was not much, I just kept looking at the rose.